Welcome to the Spark Heart Podcast for the week of December 3rd, 2012. The podcast is a weekly look at the top stories from the Spark Heart Job Seeker and Human Resources blogs. So to start off this week, why don't we just get right into it with the Human Resources blog, like always. One of the ones that I liked the most from last week is educational background or work experience more important?
Right, right.
For employers. It's an age-old question, a long-standing debate, and the answer is kind of frustrating because it really depends.
Sure. Ideally, you want someone who has, you know, decent education and experience. It's not always like that with your candidates.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was getting to towards the end of the article is you kind of don't want to go for one or the other. It's best if you go for both, but if you have to choose one or the other, or if you are putting up a job post and, you know, you ask yourself, is it a requirement for this person to have a degree? Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that you have to ask yourself. And
sure,
sometimes they don't. And, I mean, what if a scenario that I painted in the article is what if, you know, they've been in the industry, they've had, say, two jobs already in this particular field, and maybe they don't have an educational background in that experience,
sure,
but they've already worked and they've already been doing the work. Are you going to rule out those candidates just because they don't have that?
Right. That's the main thing I took away from the article. It's for a candidate who has more work experience but less education, or, you know, they don't have a degree compared to a candidate you're looking at who does. The candidate with more work experience may have the same characteristics you're looking for your position. Don't discount them.
Yeah, and if you disclude them, you may be losing out on a big talent pool.
Of course.
So, you know, it's always good for you to take a minute and think about, you know, what do you need out of this position? Is it a requirement that they have a degree? You know, for some jobs, obviously, it's inevitable that you need a degree.
Of course.
For some, you know, it doesn't. So
maybe not.
It depends. So, also for human resource, we were talking about how volunteering can help your company culture.
Right, right. And I would say you can't just do any form of community service and call it a day. As the article mentioned, it's better for you and your culture if you find what a good chunk of your employees really care about. You know, feel them out, what are they passionate about, and then shape your company's social responsibility around that.
Definitely. I think volunteering is an awesome way to keep your company culture up, especially, you know, it's great for team building as well. If it's something that your whole department, it doesn't have to be your whole company, maybe you do it by department,
sure,
or maybe you do it by team, maybe it's something that your coworkers and you feel pretty strongly about, and, you know, it's something that everybody would enjoy doing outside of work,
mm-hmm,
or maybe a day in the week that you have time to do it. And it would be a great way to build teamwork, which is also a great stepping stone for a great company culture.
Of course, of course. And the article also mentioned, you know, consider the needs of your local community when trying to figure out ideas of what you can do for volunteer work.
Definitely. And I think, you know, talking to your employees or to the team and knowing what everybody likes.
Sure.
I think Heather in the article mentioned, you know, if you suggest, oh, let's go work at the local, you know, pet rescue or something, and people, you know, half the people on your team are allergic to pets.
Exactly. Bad
probably
idea.
Not going to work out. So just because maybe you feel strongly about it as
right,
the leader,
right,
maybe not everybody else is on board.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely communication, which also is a great way to lead to company culture.
Sure.
And if you can't communicate about a volunteer effort, then you're probably not going to be able to communicate in the office.
Sure.
So definitely good ways. And also promote volunteer efforts to job seekers that are trying to come to your company.
Right.
You know, it's a great way to show that you have a great company culture, and a great way to reel in top candidates that maybe that's something they're really interested in. Maybe they want to work for a company that is heavy on volunteer work.
Right. It can be a real draw.
Definitely. It's something that you can put in your company video. So,
yeah,
good
talk
things.
About it in the video interview.
Yeah.
Many options.
Definitely good things. So, moving on to our job seeker blog, where we have a lot more content. So, one of our writers talked about how many resumes do you really need for your job search?
Sure. This was an interesting article, because I remember going back to my job search, I really only had one or two different types of resumes. I don't know about you, Nicole.
Well, I only had one because I was looking for only one specific kind of job.
Sure.
So that was kind of the picture that she painted as well. You know, if you're a job seeker and you're looking for, you know, you have experience in two different realms and maybe, you know, you're looking for a job in either, then obviously you're definitely going to need two different resumes.
Sure, sure. But I think this article is definitely kind of catering to those who out there who have many, definitely more than two, five or six. And I think the main point was rewriting your resume for each and every position or application you're sending out there. It can become time-consuming and tedious and ultimately is not beneficial for your job search.
And it's not necessary. I mean, that's what your cover letter is for.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is time-consuming in itself. And actually, next week we'll be talking about, you know, tips for your cover letter. So, you know, make sure you stay intact with that. But that is what the cover letter is for. And that is definitely something that you should be making unique to each position.
Sure, sure. The cover letter. And also perhaps reevaluate your job search. If you're very broad right now and can be the reason why you have so many video resumes, or resumes, I should say, consider narrowing your job search to specific industries that you really care about. I can understand you may just want a job, but consider narrowing it down to help your job search.
Exactly. That'll probably increase your chances of getting a job
exactly.
in your job search. I definitely think that maybe looking at what the characteristics of this job are, and maybe, you know, if it's a position that you feel really strongly for, if you really want to work for that company, then maybe you can go in and tweak your resume for each individual position, or for that position in particular, because you want to put in specific words that'll catch their eyes, or specific
yes.
things that they're looking for, specific qualifications. You know, if you can use the language that they're using in your resume, and it's not going to take up too much of your time, or, you know, it doesn't matter if it takes up a lot of your time because you're passionate and you want to work for that company, then that makes absolute sense and actually probably should.
Yeah.
I think Kristen, the writer who wrote this article, was talking about how, you know, she was trying to get a marketing job, and so she wouldn't put that she was CPR registered
mm-hmm.
on her resume, but then, you know, when she was looking for a job in childcare, kind of in the same industry, you know, marketing, but childcare, then she put that on there because
yeah.
it's pertinent. So, you know, little tiny things tweaking here and there, but writing a new resume every time.
Yeah.
Not so necessary.
Agreed.
So our last article that we'll talk about on our Sparkcast here is, what should you do when you receive an offer, a job offer, but you're waiting for an interview with another company?
Right, so I think the scenario they kind of painted was, you know, one company gives you an offer, which is great, congrats.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, though, you might have another company that you may even be more excited about to get a job, but you're still waiting to hear back from them or even waiting to get an interview with them.
Lucky job seeker.
Yeah, great to have an offer, right?
Yeah. Lucky job seeker. Definitely interesting scenario, and the solution that the writer was talking about was see how long you can see how long you can have before you have to give company A, or the one who offered you the position, see how long you have to give them an answer. You know, we talked about companies that offer you a spot, a job offer on the spot,
yeah,
and you want to stay away from that. So most companies, you know, if you say, hey, I need a couple days to think about this, I need a couple days to mull it over, they should be okay with that.
Yeah. Most companies are perfectly fine if you might ask them for a couple days for a bit of an extension. Keep it realistic, though. Don't say 2 weeks or something like that. They probably will not be accommodating for 2 weeks.
Exactly. The most you'll probably get is a week.
Yeah.
That's probably as far as you'll get. And
right. In
that week, you know, if you can talk to company B and say, hey, you know, I'm really interested in this company. I'm waiting to hear back from you on when we could schedule an interview. In fact, I was offered a job from another company,
right,
but I'm still really interested in your company.
Exactly.
So if we could perhaps get the ball rolling, if we could meet up sometime soon this week.
Right.
You know, you certainly don't want to rush them, but
of course.
I mean, expressing that interest in them and telling them that you're that interested in the company that you're willing to hold off on another job offer.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, they'll probably be willing to, you know, get the ball rolling. And if not, you know, you're going to have to decide if you want to turn down an offer
sure.
for a potential offer later.
Right, but giving them that sense of urgency, the company you're still waiting for, I mean, if they are really interested in you, then, you know, they'll get back to you.
Certainly.
Ideally. But
yeah.
And if they don't, then, you know, well, at least you told them the situation, and which is perfectly fine. I think some even job seekers aren't too sure if they should even tell another company they're waiting to hear back from if they have an offer. But it's perfectly acceptable to do that.
Yeah, and I think it makes it, you look more a little more desirable. You're a desirable candidate. Another company has already asked you to be part of their team.
Right, right.
And I also think that it's really important to think about other job seekers while you're holding this other company. You know, you're stalling them. So say in the event that you do get an interview with Company B and they also end up offering you a job, you know, again, lucky job seeker, but if they do offer you that position, then, you know, you made Company A wait, and in the process, you know, their other potential candidates might have just kind of lost interest, or maybe they were picked up by another company, so you kind of have to think about the other job seekers that are waiting as well, and, you know, that company that's waiting to hire somebody. You might be putting them in a bad position. So definitely be considerate of those things.
Of course, of course.
And remember to be professional. Keep it professional with your contact with them, everything you say, you know. Definitely always keep it professional, which is one of the most important things in your job search.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else you'd like to add, Patrick, for this week's podcast?
You know, there is actually. I think at the very end of this recent article we talked about, they talked about, as a strategy, taking the offer while you're kind of running out of time with the other company.
Bad,
because, you know, it's not good practice.
It's not professional, because you're just taking that position for, what, like a week or two?
Possibly, and that's just terrible.
Yeah, it's, because then they're going to have to go through that entire hiring process again.
Right.
And it's going to be a scar on you as a job
seeker. Make sure if you accept the offer, you're making the right decision.
Yes, and you're in it for the long run.
Right, right.
Which means at least 2 years, 1 to 2 years.
Sure.
A year and a half to 2 years.
Right, right.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in to this week's version of the Spark Hire Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show again this week. If you have any additional questions or would like to weigh in on the articles we discussed, head over to the Spark Hire Job Seeker blog at blog.sparkhire.com and the Human Resource blog at hr.sparkhire.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for fresh content straight in your social media feeds. And don't forget to check back every Monday for a new podcast. That concludes our show for today and this week. Have a great day.
Have a great week.